Hello and welcome to The Planet Today, where we cover the latest in climate change, wildlife conservation, renewable energy, and environmental policy. Today's Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, Matt Norden, here by myself today because we're about to air my interview with Wendy Baker of Dynapower. Before we get into things, here's a quick note from one of our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by KitCaster. KitCaster books you on top podcasts. How do funded startup founders attract prospects and talent? Podcast interviews. How do entrepreneurs with exits find new deals? Podcast interviews. How do C-suite execs differentiate in crowded markets? Podcast interviews. KitCaster books you on top podcasts. Click the link in the show notes for a special offer. Celebrate good conversation.
Today on TPT, we are joined by Wendy Baker of Dynapower. Dynapower is powering the world's leading brands and institutions with reliable solutions in energy storage systems and other electrical components for renewable energy. Wendy is an award-winning business development professional who's passionate about developing sustainable power options. Wendy, welcome to The Planet Today.
Thanks, Matt. It's good to be here.
Happy to have you here and, you know, excited to hear more about you, hear more about your team and what you're all doing. So let's start from the beginning. What first got you interested in sustainability, environmentalism, that whole umbrella that brings us here today?
That's a really loaded question. I think I have many, many layers to that. I will start with saying, you know, I think looking back on all of our earliest memories, I think everybody can relate to the fact that nature was involved. So I remember going to the beach with my family. My grandparents actually had a dude ranch and 60 horses. So I grew up in the summers there. My dad was a hunter. So we kind of lived off the land. I think it's really started there. And then in my trajectory, I don't have a linear path by any means. My dad actually is a wind turbine technician for Vestas. So I was exposed pretty early in the development of wind, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. And ended up going to school for architecture, and we learned a lot about sustainable design. Obviously, energy is a part of that. Got into marketing out of school and was always curious about sustainable initiatives with brands, specifically clothing lines. So was really interested, worked at Patagonia for a little bit, and then got back into energy sort of around COVID, just sort of in looking at next steps for me. So I think I'm always sort of looking at things from a holistic picture, especially when it comes to the motto, you know, do good, do no harm. So it's really has to do with how do we find balance in everything that we do? And I think energy is a key component to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that you just kind of touched on there that I want to really highlight, there's definitely someone out there listening right now that's a college student that, you know, they look at people who are a little bit older than them and they think that everybody kind of knows what they're doing, and the reality is no one knows what they're doing. We just kind of fake it until we figure it out. And I think you saying like my path was nonlinear, so many people have that same experience, and we all end up doing something cool, something impactful, something that we're passionate about, and it's okay to bounce around within the industry and to find that thing that, you know, makes you wake up in the morning and it makes you excited to do something. So I think that story that you share about, you know, being kind of born into a family who is familiar with environmental topics, you know, being surrounded by nature, that's something that, you know, can spur a long-term career in environmentalism and sustainability for a lot of people.
Very much agreed. Yeah.
So I know you'd said around COVID, you got back into energy. So what led you to Dynapower, and, you know, what does your team do there?
So I, at the time I was in, event production when I was laid off, and I had friends that were in the industry. So actually one of my really good friends worked at Dynapower, and there were some openings that came about, and she said, you know, you should really check this out. And at that point I was kind of looking at a lot of different areas in my next steps, as we kind of all were during COVID, and energy was just something that I was passionate about and paying attention to. So it kind of just made sense, and fortunately I had a connection. And I think really our next steps mostly always they happen from connections. So having that connection, knowing that I wanted and was interested in that, Dynapower sort of opened the gates towards that really kind of seamless transition. And I started actually in the microgrid segment, and hydrogen was sort of a very new market at the time, specifically for Dynapower, not for anybody else. We all know that hydrogen has been around for some time. It's just sort of the magnitude of carbon intensity involved in the process. So was really involved in the beginning with sort of the development of that segment within Dynapower, which was really exciting. I love new markets, specifically when it comes to energy. It's just a it's a different sort of way of doing business. And I love business development and making connections and getting stuff done. So Dynapower, they started 60 years ago now. It's been maybe 60 plus. So it's been around for a really, really long time. They're mostly known for their industrial side, and then they also work with the government. And then their clean energy department business unit really came on about 2007, I believe, getting involved in solar and energy storage. And then it wasn't until right around 2020, I think, that the hydrogen segment came online. So we produce power conversion equipment. We actually manufacture the gear. We've got a location in Burlington, Vermont, and then some contract manufacturers overseas in different locations.
Gotcha. No, it's so interesting with companies like this where, energy is not new. Energy is not a new concept, but it seems like the companies that are planning to stick around really view themselves as energy providers, whereas some might be a lot more short-sighted and be thinking, we are natural gas providers, we are coal power plants, and that's all we do. And there's not to say that there was never a place for that, but in this world that's rapidly evolving, and gearing up more towards renewable, green, clean energy, it's important to say, if I'm an energy company, what does that mean, and how do I go about providing that?
Yeah, you really hit on something there, Matt, about adaptability. And I think Dynapower at its core is a very adaptable company and recognizing what's to come, having a really strong product development and engineering team to really push the market forward and help them support in that.
It's a really exciting time for this industry. Before I took my current
Yeah.
job, which is in sustainability for an affordable housing company, I was working in solar for a couple of years. And it just seems like when I was entering college, which was 2013, people were starting to be, solar, wind, hydro, hydrogen, these are the next big things. And in reality,
Yeah.
like they were at the time. They had been before that. They had kind of
Right.
been that next step that really should have been happening a decade prior. But, a decade after I had started college, it seems like now it's not even a conversation of people being like, oh, that's the next big thing. It's just here and it's exciting. And
We're in it.
we're in that future stage that I was hoping would get here a little bit quicker than it did.
Matt, I graduated in right as you were kind of entering college around 2012, and I remember studying sustainable design in architecture school. And yeah, you're right. We talked about LEED certification, and I look back at where it was then and look at where it is now, and it's like, yeah, the market has shifted, and it's great.
Yeah, so quickly. And that's not to say that we're done. There's still such a long way to go before we can say,
That box.
yeah,
We did
yeah,
it.
I hope that we get there before 2050. But it's
So
going to
true.
be a very interesting transition to be a part of, and even just for people listening right now that are interested in this topic, it's going to be a really cool time to see how we, as a global community, can adapt to phasing out fossil fuels and leaning on, companies that are going to be focused more on clean, renewable solutions. So, I guess leading into my next question, what role does Dynapower play in that transition to renewable energy?
Sure. So we've got four different segments within the clean energy business unit. We've got microgrids, we've got renewables, we've got e-mobility, and then we've got hydrogen. We're starting to see a lot of crossover across the segments just in the applications and use cases. So, for example, in hydrogen specifically, we're seeing a lot of renewables coupled with electrolyzers, so on-site production, localized. But essentially, at the core, it's power conversion for the different, so providing power for the different applications. In hydrogen, that specifically means we have power conversion equipment, so rectifiers, whether that's SCR, IGBT chopper, or IGBT boost rectifiers. It's really powering the electrolyzers to produce that hydrogen. And then we also work on the fuel cell side as well.
Gotcha. So you're really involved every step along the process there.
Pretty much. We have a lot of conversations. I'm just trying to think of all the different types of customers and clients that I talk with. And even, we work with EPCs, we work with owners operators, we work directly with the electrolyzer fuel cell OEMs. But then outside of that, it's like within those different sort of categorized customers, we work with procurement, we work with engineers directly, we work with site developers. So it's like we're talking to such a plethora of folks, and catering conversations specifically to what they need to, yeah, really dive into those really deep electrical mechanical conversations to make sure that we are, providing the right equipment so things don't go crazy on site, which downtime is not a good thing on
Yeah,
site.
yep. I feel like anytime we're building anything, stuff is gonna happen. It's gonna go
Right.
wrong, and it's really just about problem solving
Minimizing
and
risk.
yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a bit more about green hydrogen. I feel like that is something that not as many people are familiar with, and it seems to be more emerging in the past few years. But I think that it's not as ubiquitous as something like solar or wind, where people kind of understand the concept of it. So
Sure.
let's kind of talk green hydrogen and how it can be a reliable source of energy as we start to shift towards a carbon-free net zero world.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, yeah, not a lot of people can have in-depth conversations. I feel like I'm in Lyft rides a lot and people are like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I have to kind of gauge their knowledge of how much they understand. And if I say, "Oh, I work in clean energy," and they're like, "Cool," and that's kind of good enough, but then they're like, "But what do you do?" And then I start talking about hydrogen and they're like, "Oh," and I feel like it's all over the chart of what they want to talk about. They'll bring up anything. And then the whole ride, they're just like so engaged in the conversation. So I think it's great. And it's interesting to see, the population and the education that they have and where that falls on the chart. But yeah, I think the key there is really long-term storage. So we think of battery storage, which obviously Dynapower provides solutions for that in our inverter lines. But really, hydrogen is going to be key to more long-term and reliable storage of energy.
Which is so important when we think about just baseload energy levels for a house, for a building,
Right.
and how, what do we do when the sun is not out? What do we do on days where it's not windy? Well,
Yeah.
right now it's getting that fuel from gas, coal, nuclear, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If we have better storage, if we have more green hydrogen in the mix, it's a carbon-free solution that helps you out on those rainy days where it's, we're not getting as much solar energy.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think the current gap is really in getting, well, first of all, you've got retrofitted projects. So there's two categories. There's retrofitted projects and what infrastructure can we already utilize that brings the cost down of developing that site. And then there's the totally new production sites that require a lot more energy and intensity of getting those sites up and running. And then yeah, in addition to that, you've got the carbon intensity of the process itself and how we're again driving down prices because it's efficiency and cost are the things that people love to talk about, especially when we're working with customers.
I think retrofits are something that are uniquely challenging because sometimes, well, actually, let me backtrack.
Sure.
It is always easier to do something in a
Right.
building that's not occupied.
Right. Yeah.
So, how do you go about improving this building without shutting down service, or, you know, I work in affordable housing. How do we increase our energy efficiency without having people move? And it's all these very difficult challenges where if you're just building a new warehouse or whatever it is from the ground up, you can do all this future planning and have state-of-the-art equipment that is built right in.
Right.
Retrofits are so tough sometimes.
Yes. Yes, they are. Very hard. Agreed.
And I think something interesting that we've kind of been alluding to here is your company seems to really be a jack of all trades. You can take over at any point in this process and say, yeah, we can find a solution for you here. What's interesting from that is that no two projects are ever the same. And
oh gosh, no, not in hydrogen at all.
Yeah. And I know when I was in solar, you would have roofs that look exactly the same. And, you know, we have to completely shift our approach based on the layout of the roof or how much structural support the roof has already.
Right.
So what kind of challenges do you run into with hydrogen projects that, you know, highlight the fact that all these projects are so different, even when they are similar?
Yeah, it really is the sizing of the projects. Mm-hmm. So we work with customers that are startups and working towards pilots. So they're really small scale, trying to get through some validation testing before they end up scaling. And then on the other side, you do have these companies, specifically electrolyzer OEMs, who have been around for a while and they've really fine-tuned their stack sizes. You also have, you know, new technology development of, so like solid oxide electrolyzers are obviously a very up and coming technology, and we don't have as many customers on that front just because it's still working through different phases in their process. So yeah, I'm thinking about all of the projects that I am working on or have worked on, and it's anywhere from a megawatt up to 1.1 gigawatts.
Gotcha.
And then across the different electrolyzer companies that don't have the same stack sizing as well. So yeah, I really think it's because the specs are so different. And as we work with the same customers again and again, obviously you see repetition and you're able to sort of standardize, but until we get towards a more standardized solution, which I think everybody agrees that standardization needs to happen. That's really where it is. So it's more effort for all teams involved if things aren't repeatable and replicable. It just takes more effort across all parties, which is more energy and it drives up cost.
Gotcha. So I think something that we haven't really brought up yet, but I think might be helpful for some of the listeners out here who aren't as familiar with hydrogen energy, how does it all kind of work? And what would you say the main difference is between conventional hydrogen versus green hydrogen?
Sure. Conventional hydrogen, I guess, people love to stray away from the colors these days, which I would agree. So it's really talking about the carbon intensity to produce the hydrogen. So green, we're focused on wind and solar that is feeding into the production process of hydrogen. And then you've got, you know, natural gas, you've got coal, you've got all those other energy sources that are feeding that production. Mm-hmm. So really take away the colors, leave those on the ground. And you're just talking about carbon intensity to produce the hydrogen itself. And that's kind of a range. And then green, which we can still talk about that color, but it's really zero CO2 intensity to produce that hydrogen, which is usually wind and solar.
Gotcha. That definitely lines up.
Yeah. Because then, you know, one of the arguments for anything other than green is carbon capture, which we don't have to get into the weeds of that. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say that's another 30-minute podcast episode.
Right. Dynafer is not involved in any of that. We just understand the equipment and sort of our equipment that aligns with the production process.
Gotcha. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like the whole no labels thing clears up a lot of questions people have, which is like, what's the difference between clean energy and green energy and all these things? Like, I don't know, it's just buzzwords. Like, I try to use carbon free or net zero carbon when applicable, but
I think it's also really hard for when you're, you know, hydrogen is so complex to talk about. And so if you're trying to simplify, really, when you're educating people, you're trying to simplify things. So throwing colors that you have to then remember, which there's not really an association to really remember, it just like messes everybody up, I
Yeah.
guess.
What's it? Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, very simple.
Yep. So I know you'd talked about a lot of the processes that your team works on, but aside from hydrogen and supply, procurement, all that sort of stuff, I'm curious what other sustainable power options you and your team kind of work through on a day-to-day, and how does that all fit into this grand Dynapower plan for you?
My focus is mostly 90% of my day is focused on hydrogen, and then
Gotcha.
maybe speaking to the other business units, which I could definitely speak to. Microgrids is obviously another great solution. That's not really in the clean energy in terms of the production side, it's more of the storage side as well. So how are we creating reliability for communities that really need that? Because especially if they're vulnerable to outages. I know that, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and lived in California, and it's really devastating seeing the impacts of global warming on those communities. And I know a lot of folks in those rural communities, and yeah, it's a huge need. So kudos to the microgrids team for really providing solutions for those communities, and making sure that they're not left behind. E-mobility, in that department, it's really hard because I think about really getting charging stations in the ground. I think everybody is talking about that right now. I had a rental car. I was debating. I just got a car, and I was debating getting an electric vehicle. And right now, the infrastructure in Arizona is really crap. It's not good at all. And I don't live in a home where I can actually charge at home. So range anxiety would be a thing for me, and spending a lot of time trying to charge my vehicle, it's just not reliable. So we're also working in that department to get DC fast charging online quicker. So a lot of our customers, it's really building out that infrastructure for charging, which is great. It's really, really needed, especially as there's so many incentives to buy electric vehicles now. And then on the renewable side, it's also we've got DC to DC converters. For solar mainly. And then we've also got battery energy storage. So coupling storage with that power conversion for renewable sources.
Gotcha. That is awesome that you're all tapped into just like so many different aspects of this space.
Yes. And that's where you can kind of start to see like where all the crossovers are. So like one of the projects that I've been working on in the past year is it's a green hydrogen microgrid. So it's fuel cells. It's technically a microgrid, but it's fuel cells for long-term storage versus battery. So
Gotcha.
yeah. Or I guess it's coupled with battery. I guess there is a battery component, so it's using both. Yeah.
That's also cool. So, I guess in all of this, and we can definitely keep the focus here on hydrogen since that's what you spend most of your time working on, but what are some of the barriers that you see for sustainable power options, and how do you and Dynapower combat those?
The main one I would say is execution. We spend a lot of time, everybody spends a lot of time talking about solutions, but it's really the execution. And obviously financing. I think that's another major hurdle because you have to have the money to do the thing. But really it's execution and the focus needed to drive, because we look at all of these incentives and these initiatives, and they're drastic, they're massive, and they're almost overwhelming and so daunting. However, if you take a step back, you focus on your team, you drive, step by step those solutions, then you're going to get there. It's just going to take a lot of baby steps. So I think the market could use some more execution, and Dynapower, obviously we're not immune to those issues as well. We've got a lot of things going in a million different directions, but we really try to drive solutions for our customers and get things in the ground, because we do have a lot of really tight timelines for some of these immediate need projects.
Gotcha. All right. Wendy, thank you so much for your time today. This was really, really fun. I had a great time talking to you, and I'm excited for people to listen to this. If people want to keep up with you or your
Sure.
team, where is the best place for them
You
to
can
do
always
that?
go to our website, dynapower.com. It's a great place. We also do a lot of blog posts and social through LinkedIn. So you can either look at our blog posts through our website or you follow us on LinkedIn. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Wendy Baker. And
Cool. I will link that in the show notes. So if you're listening right now, swipe up, click those links, go show some love. We end all of our interviews with three fun rapid fire questions. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Number one, what is your favorite animal?
A giraffe.
Nice. Number two, what is something you do to be more sustainable in your day-to-day life?
Ooh, that one's hard. Walk as much as possible.
Awesome. It is a carbon-free way to get around. So.
Very energy intensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Number three, what is one topic you think my listeners should be more aware of after hearing from you today?
Ooh, I love this one. Sustainable fashion. It's something we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah, we have talked about that a few times on this show, and every time it's just like jaw-dropping. Just,
yes.
You know, especially the fast fashion industry when you get into, you know, some brands that I'm not going to name here, but oh my goodness, yeah. It's...
We know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you again. If you're listening, like I said, swipe up, go show Wendy and Dynapower some love on LinkedIn and on their website, dynapower.com. Thanks again. All right. That'll do it for today's episode of TPT. We're going to be back on Friday for another episode. Thank you again to Wendy for her time on this one. Until next week, you can check out our socials at Planet Today Pod for more TPT. For the Planet Today, I am Matt Norden. See you on Friday.